Let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Live. Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly with you for the next 2 hours. We've got a lot going on. This is a very busy program. Our only sports open line this week. We just got done with our only Redbird Rush Hour this week, and now we get to our only sports open line of the week. Bernie Miklas is going to join us for our weekly conversation. He's going to be with us in about 10 minutes or so. Also, coming up later on this hour, we are going to talk with Christian Miles from Apple TV. He is one of the MLS broadcasters. City playing last night. They played to a 1-1 tie against Sporting KC. They get right back at it this weekend, too. So it's one of those 3 games in 8 days type situations for a city, which is always tough. And then I really hope everybody tuned in sticks around for the full 7 o'clock hour. That hour is going to be almost completely filled by a conversation that I recently had with the Cardinals director of amateur acquisition, Zach Mortimer, who is part of the team that oversees the draft. The Cardinals TV production folks just did a really cool feature. It's a 21-minute program, so it's not like a 3-minute feature. It's 21 minutes long. It's awesome. It's called Draft 365, and they followed scouts and they followed everything going on with the Cardinals leading up to the draft. They were at meetings in January. They literally followed scouts on the road. They were at Busch Stadium when they brought prospects in for a workout. They were in the draft room when the actual draft was taking place and the meetings leading up to it. It was awesome. It's awesome. If you haven't seen it yet, go watch it. It's on YouTube. Just type in Draft 365 and you'll find it. But Zach Mortimer, who is their director of amateur acquisition, he's a big part of it along with Randy Flores. We're going to talk with Zach, and that's going to be almost the entire 7 o'clock hour as we just talk all things Cardinals scouting. And also we'll talk a little bit about some of the guys that they did just recently draft. And a good time for it because Condon just got called up from the Complex League to Palm Beach. That's been a good step forward for him. Cardinals win today. Somehow, some way, they win today. And that was a wild one. That's one of those games that when the season comes to an end, the season will end and I'll kind of reflect upon the year. And I'll be honest with you, I'm always impressed with people who are really good at recalling things that happened that are not like really big things. That's when I talk with Derek Gould, can remember, and same thing with Jeff Jones. Maybe it's a trait that exists for beat writers. These guys have the innate ability to remember minute details that happened in a random baseball game. And over 162 games, there's a lot of minute details. There are a lot of minute details over 162 games, plus you get to the playoffs and all that. I can't remember what I had for lunch yesterday. I have a really hard time remembering everything that happens over the course of a year. But I do spend time at the end of the season kind of thinking back and almost cataloging for myself what happened this year, what are the notable things, so on and so forth. And this is one of those games we're all going to remember. There's going to be no doubt that this is a game that, and just even this game in the context of this series, it's a 5-game series, which is pretty odd. 2 games in here where the Cardinals fans would have told you they should have won them, the second game of the doubleheader and then the game last night. I thought the venom, and it was a frustrating night last night when I was hosting the postgame show because I wasn't expecting to react. Maybe this is just a bad job by me. I was not expecting the reaction to last night's game that we had when I started that postgame show. Cardinals fans were really angry last night. Were really, really angry, and they wanted to blame it all on Matthew Liberatore. I was literally getting text messages last night that said, when Sal Stewart wins the National League Rookie of the Year, Oliver Marmol needs to be completely at blame for it because he allowed Liberatore to face off against Stewart in the 6th inning yesterday. Like, that's where I don't know if it was a majority of people or a vocal minority. I think it was a vocal minority, but that's where people were at. It wasn't just let's find reasons to blame Oliver Marmol. It was, Sal Stewart just beat J.J. Weatherholt for the Rookie of the Year award, and it's Oliver Marmol's fault. Like that's where the fan base, a vocal portion of the fan base, was at last night. And it's after a game like last night, it's a raw moment, right? Like that game gets over, and it just doesn't feel good to lose that game. And the fact that a little bit of hope went along with it there in the ninth inning just to draw you in that much more, where it felt like the Cardinals were going to find a way to tie it up last night, and then it doesn't happen. People were very, very unhappy. And my whole thing was, okay, it doesn't matter if you can just keep winning series. Not that losing a game doesn't matter, but in the grand scheme of things, if you can just keep winning series, you're going to be okay. And then the Cardinals, they get out to a 4-0 lead today. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, everything's all right. It stunk that they lost a couple of these games. They lost yesterday's game the way they lost it. They lost the other game when they were one out away from winning it. Like, all that stinks, but you can throw away the stinkiness of those moments because you're still going to win a series. And if you just keep winning series, if this team just wins series after series after series after series for the final 5-6 weeks of the season, they're going to be a playoff team. They're going to be fine. So I'm thinking that, and then the Reds have the comeback, and they score the 5 runs in the 6th inning, and Ryan Stanek, who I've been a big, big defender of, was not very good today, and they continue to try to navigate through a bullpen that is just completely worn out right now, and that's why they're letting starting pitchers go deeper. That's why Liberatore was asked to throw 6 yesterday. Maybe you would have thought of going to the bullpen a little bit earlier today, even with McGreevy. There's a lot going on, and then you're just given a wonderful gift in the 9th inning by a Cincinnati team that is absolutely terrible defensively, just terrible defensively, where you don't know what's going on in the outfield. That probably was Friedel's ball, the left fielder. Friedel doesn't, for whatever reason, he doesn't go for it. Dane Myers in center field goes for it. Somebody made this point on social media, so this is not an original thought by me, but it's funny. Neither of those guys had a great view of the baseball. Matthew Rocchio, they each had sunglasses on the tops of their caps. Tops of their caps. Neither one of them could see the darn baseball, but I literally, as I say this, we've got Channel 2 up on they're running sports right now. I just saw it. Both those outfielders out there, they weren't wearing the sunglasses.
Matthew, the sunglasses for outfield are for looking cool, not actually blocking out any part of the sun.
You know, you're not both, it started with the Atlanta organization. You're not allowed to wear them up there.
Why?
It started with, who would have been the general manager? They didn't like the logo being not displayed, being blocked out by sunglasses.
You say general manager, but that sounds like a Ted Turner thing.
I don't know. Where I first learned about it was when I was in Kansas City, Dayton Moore was in charge of the Royals, and he brought that with him from Atlanta. Because he had been like the assistant GM in Atlanta and then went to Kansas City, and Kansas City players also were not allowed to wear the sunglasses on top of the hat.
My question with that is, like, it feels like if an outfielder misses a ball in like 2004 and they go to Danny Cox and say, hey, can I please wear sunglasses next time? And he's like, why don't you wear sunglasses today? And he goes, oh, the GM doesn't want me wearing sunglasses because it blocks the logo. I feel like that's something Danny Cox would have been like, no, I want my outfielders catching the ball.
Well, you can always call for the sunglasses.
True.
That used to be a thing. Remember, you'd see it all the time where bat boys would be bringing the sunglasses out to an outfielder?
Just seemed like there were so many other organizations that I could see the GM passing down a rule that would harm your team to win games because of some foolish thing that makes no sense. I'm legitimately surprised that in the decades of a guy like Cox running the Braves, that would have
been. It was Bobby Cox who made that rule.
That's insane.
It was Bobby Cox.
Wow, Bobby, my bad.
Yeah, so I knew what you were talking about.
There was a Y and there was a Cox in there.
Bobby Cox, because
of all people.
Of respect for the uniform, that they could not wear sunglasses on the brim of the front of the cap because it blocked out the logo.
So you just had to have them on the back. You just had to have them.
You're either wearing them or you're not.
That's insane to me. I can't believe that.
Yeah.
Why would you take away a potential advantage for your players?
Because you got to see the A.
Wild.
For the A. Isn't that their logo? Isn't that their slogan? For the A?
Is that a Braves thing for
that
the A?
That sounds like a really dumb slogan.
I think it's the hashtag for the A. I think
my slogan, if I was the Braves, would be win more World Series when you're in the National League Championship year after year.
Yeah.
That'd be my slogan.
Win the division with the best pitching that we've seen in the last 30 years. Okay. All right. All that being said, we got onto a tangent there. That's okay. Bernie Miklas, he joins us next. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at it on KMOX. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line, our only sports open line this week, with the Cardinals up playing out east. They did play the day game today. Somehow, some way, they found a way to win. We're happy right now to welcome on the program for our weekly conversation. It is my good friend Bernie Miklas. He is a contributor here on many KMOX programs. You can check out his videos on social media. He's in the process of getting his online written content back up and going as well. Right now, he's posting a lot of his columns on his X account. Bernie, always appreciate you taking some time. How are you?
Matt, I'm doing great, man. Good to be with you. Have you recovered from whatever the heck that was today?
That was a new game started in the ninth inning today, and just even the story, you know, sports to me, it's all about stories, and the story of the ninth inning, both the top and bottom, that was some compelling stuff that happened today.
It was just insane. I mean, I will say this as a fan, the fact that the Cardinals won made me really, really enjoy the craziness of it all, but I wouldn't be feeling that way if they had lost that game, right? I wouldn't be talking about how funny and entertaining and wild it was. I'd be like ticked off, I think, but that's Cincinnati's problem, right?
Yeah. Well, I also think, you know, one of the wonderful things and one of the reasons I love baseball so much is how much the games connect one to the next and one series to the next. And what happened today doesn't just impact tomorrow. It was impacted by yesterday and the day before. And there were two tough losses in this five-game series that you were one out away in the first game. And then yesterday with Sal Stewart hitting the home run to turn over a game. And then you also had, you know, them coming back late but not being able to finish the comeback. If they lose today, well, then it's a series loss. So not only is it a bad loss, it really taints the series, where kind of the opposite of that ends up happening because they take 3 of 5.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, I don't think it's far-fetched at all to say the Cardinals could have won all five games. They were in position to win all five games. So, listen, if people want to sort of take the glasses half-empty view and say, well, they should have won five, they should have won four. Well, I don't disagree with that. But I take the glass half-full view because this team continues to demonstrate remarkable resiliency. They continue to overcome a lot of odds. They continue to overcome their own flaws, like a volatile bullpen and an offense that has been pretty good lately. But, you know, it's kind of one extreme or another. They have a rotation that's somehow like in the top nine, has the ninth best starting pitching ERA this year in the majors, which is remarkable. And yet, it's also a fragile rotation, mm-hmm. again, as we saw today, because their guys are pretty much five-inning pitchers. After that, Ali Marmol has got to lean heavily on a bullpen that, frankly, does not have quality depth. So they've got the lowest payroll in the league in terms of what they're paying their 26-man roster. And they've got the youngest roster in the league. They offloaded Gray, Donovan, Contreras, Arenado, Nootbaar, May, and Romero. And yet, here they are. They're three games over 500. They've exceeded all expectations. They are embarrassing teams that five teams that were in the playoffs last year. They have a better record than them. They have a better record than a much-hyped Pirates team. They're better than a Cincinnati team that was hyped, and they're better than about six or seven teams that are spending a fortune relative to what the St. Louis payroll is. So I gave that speech for a reason, because if people want to take away from this, you know, anybody can believe what they want. Well, I'm glad the Cardinals won the series, but they should have won all five. They should have won four out of five, you know, blah, 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 blah. Well, you can do that. I'm just saying you're missing the bigger picture. That's all.
I've been looking forward to our conversation today because I honestly want to get your thoughts on this because I've been reading your stuff that you've been putting out on social media, and you've gone very heavy today on Cardinals starting pitching third time through a rotation, or third time through an order, I should say, and how basically that needs to be avoided. And we saw that yesterday with Matthew Liberatore, who, in the grand scheme of things, I don't think anybody's going to say, hey, 3 runs in 6 innings, you'll take that from Liberatore. But then when you put the magnifying glass on it, it was 5 innings of nothing. And then him giving up 3 runs in the 6th inning really hurt you. And that created the conversation of, should he have been there in their first place? After the game, Oliver Marmol talked very openly, Bernie, about the fact that where the bullpen is at right now, with the doubleheader earlier in the week, with the fact that they're being so careful with Kyle Leahy, they really needed Liberatore to give at least 6. That was a minimum standard. How do you reconcile 2 things that are true? This overwhelming necessity to get a little bit more from starting pitching, a guy like Matthew Liberatore, versus the numbers you've cited today that show just how terrible some of these guys are once they do start facing that order a third time through.
Well, if Ollie Marmol had a better bullpen with more depth, more quality, he doesn't build the roster, so. It would be ludicrous to blame him for the fact that they're lacking in quality and depth. But he does. There are times, especially when it's very, very, very busy and the schedule's thick and everything else, there are times when, frankly, he has to turn to relievers who aren't on the A list or on the B list or the C list of what they have. And that leaves the team extremely vulnerable. And there are some times where he really doesn't have a choice. Now, his critics would, you know, of course, blame everything on him. But he's really stuck in the middle because it's almost a damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because if you stick with your starting pitchers, who I forget my own numbers now, but when they face a lineup the third time through, their ERA is well over 6 as mm-hmm. a group.
Yeah.
As it's like 660 or something, right? As a group. So you can either roll the die and take your chances by pushing them, hoping to get a 6th inning out of them because your bullpen's thin. So if you do that and it blows up, well, the manager's an idiot, right?
Yeah.
But not he isn't really, right, but yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's the response to it.
But on the other hand, how many times have you hosted a post-game show on KMOX where he pulls a guy after 5 innings and then something goes wrong? And if he would have pulled McGreevy today after 5 innings or Liberatore last night after 5 innings or whatever, and the bullpen coughs it up because the bullpen's not in good shape, well, the manager's an idiot then too. One way or the other, unless they win, you're going to have half the people calling him an idiot who believe you took the starter out too soon. Oh, you left the starter in too long. Oh, how can you turn this game over to the bullpen at the top of the 6th inning? The bullpen stinks. You know, either whatever turn he takes, he's going to be wrong. There's a really good chance that it's going to be quote wrong. My thing is like, take a look at the choices he has before you start, you know, talking about a manager in that spot, any manager in that spot being stupid for making a choice that was a thankless choice, to be honest. And, you know, I said this today a lot, and I'm going to say it again. I have tremendous respect for Chaim Bloom. I am grateful that he's running this baseball operation. The one thing I'm disappointed in, it doesn't cost a lot to build a better bullpen, and you don't have to give up great prospects or even good prospects. I think Chaim Bloom owed this team some reinforcement of that bullpen. To me, I don't even know how they can possibly be even within striking distance of a wild card spot.
Yeah, I love the way Ollie manages the bullpen. Although I will say, Bernie, I didn't love the move today when he went to Soriano, and I was sitting in a room with Kevin Wheeler, Dave Glover, and Andrew Stoltz. So there are people who can know that I said this at the time. Up 5 in that situation, and they had
Ferguson up, and I know he hasn't been very good this year. But if that's if you're not going to use him there, you're never going to use him. And if it goes poorly in that moment, you're still in the exact same situation you were in anyways, because you're bringing O'Brien in, but you're bringing O'Brien in having used one less high leverage guy. And that's a decision that I hope doesn't hurt this team come tomorrow, where they, if there's a situation where they could have used Soriano.
Well, that's right. That's exactly right. See, that, I mean, he's kind of stuck with, well, I use the word. I'm trying to think of a better word. I'm sorry. He's often, you know, presented with thankless choices. And there are times he makes mistakes. But here's a bulletin. Every manager in the history of baseball does that. But your point is right. That would have been a good spot for Ferguson. I totally agree with you. But then again, you know, and I know that if that thing had blown up, well, he would have been wearing the dunce cap, based by what his haters say. So, you know, what are you going to do if he was given a better bullpen by the front office? A lot of his decisions wouldn't be so perilous.
Yeah, but it also, I think you're right in everything that you're saying. I also think that this team could have, and Ryan Stanek was not. I know I've been, you know, St. Louis's leader of defending Ryan Stanek. I also have eyes, Bernie, and he was not very good today.
No.
He was not very good at all. That happens. But if this team did not have Ryan Stanek and they did not have Riley O'Brien, if those guys would have been moved at the deadline, they would not be where they're at still right now. I don't think there was any way to recover from that. Right. So at least those guys were left, even with them moving on from a JoJo Romero.
Listen, you and I never hesitate to push back on each other. But I want to defend you on something, and I'll be quick. When you have praised Ryan Stanek for the way he's pitched for months now, right? Mm-hmm. You weren't correct. I mean, I'm sorry. You weren't wrong. You were totally correct. But what happens is he comes in today, and he was bad, and it happens, and he got blown up. That doesn't mean Stanek sucks. I'd never bring him in again. No, that's really stupid. No, that's very, very dumb thing to say. So you were correct in pointing out how well he's pitched. But does that mean he's going to do it every time out? The answer is no.
No.
So what are you going to do, man? You're relying on a guy that's pitched really, really well since, you know, whatever the cutoff date was where he was bad. For a long time, he's been really good. Today, he was awful. It's baseball. It doesn't mean that all the good pitching he's given the Cardinals is erased because of today. I don't understand this all or nothing mentality that's out there so much.
Yeah, and again, I would just also take the step back and say, going into yesterday, the Cardinals essentially had the best record in baseball since August 2nd. So the better part of the last 3 weeks, they were tied with a handful of other teams for the best record in baseball. You're going to lose some games that you feel like you should have won. You're going to win some games like today that you feel like you probably should have lost. If you're living and dying on every single game, like, that's part of the fan experience. But I also think that there's a line that doesn't need to be crossed, where take a step back and just acknowledge, okay, this loss stinks. It happens over 162 games. Go get them tomorrow. Get the job done. Win the series and see what happens in Philadelphia.
Well, that's right. You know, they're going in, and I don't think the bullpen is in very good shape, to say the least, because they had to overextend it today again. So I don't know what his plans are. I would hope that they would get a fresh arm up here. Philadelphia is a tough place to pitch in, to say the least. And I'd like to see the Cardinals go there at best and win the series 2-1. But even if they go 1-2, I mean, what are we going to whine about that? I'm not.
No, I'm not.
So it's listen. They've won 5 straight series, and they are 12-6 in their last 18 games. And this was after a really, really bad run that pushed them 3 games under .500. And this was after a trade deadline that sent Newt Barr and Dustin May and Romero, and I know Romero wasn't pitching, but still sent them away. So at a time where they should have, in effect, folded up and just like, well, you know, we gave it a good run. And no, here they come. Here they come, 5 consecutive series wins, 12-6 in their last 18. Has it been pretty? No. A lot of times it's been ugly. but they're finding ways to win. And the incredible resilience this team has is something that should be respected. And the team culture that the manager and the coaches and the players have worked hard to create is one of the reasons why they've won five straight series and 12 out of their last 18 games after getting no help at the trade deadline and after flopping around a while leading into the trade deadline.
I am a little curious. The Cardinals have not officially listed a starter for tomorrow. It would be Hunter Dobbins' day. I checked again with some people who were in Cincinnati asking, did Ollie officially announce a starter for tomorrow? And nothing has been officially said. It seems odd to me that no announcement has been made. And I just, that small voice inside of me is wondering, what's going on with the pitching? Who's going to start tomorrow? Are there going to be some roster moves? You said, get more people up. I wonder if maybe there's some things going on under the surface that I'm not aware of right now.
Well, we're going to have to wait, I guess,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I hope that, I sincerely hope, as we all do, that there isn't something wrong with Dobbins. And I don't mean some catastrophic injury, but maybe something that's giving them pause before sending him out there, where maybe he needs to miss a start or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we'll see. But what are you going to do? I mean, I don't even know who they would call up.
Your best option is Bryson Motz, who's got like an 8 ERA this month.
Yeah,
in Memphis.
He's been very disappointing. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So I don't know, man. I don't know. So just more challenges for Ollie Marmol and Dusty Blake.
Absolutely. Keeping going here on a Graybar Sports Open Line, our only show this week, because we've got Cardinals baseball every other night, but they played earlier today. They got a win against Cincinnati, taking 3 of 5. They'll match up against the Phillies coming up tomorrow. City SC, they are in a very busy portion of their schedule, going through the 3 games in 8 days period. They played last night, played to a 1-1 draw against Sporting KC in Kansas City, and this weekend they're going to be back at home on Saturday as they match up against Houston. We're very happy to welcome on to the program right now, part of the team at Apple TV covering MLS on the MLS Season Pass. He is Christian Miles. You follow him on Twitter at @CMilesSports. Christian, thanks for so much for spending some time with us today. How are you?
Yeah, absolutely, Matt. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to talking some footy.
What did you think about City's performance last night? It was not the cleanest game in the world.
No, it wasn't, but it does just enough, and it kind of exemplifies this kind of newfound resilience and a sticking to the system that has kind of been prevalent throughout the entire campaign. And you know, after some discussions with head coach Johan de Meij this afternoon, saying, look, the results weren't there, but the system was in place, and we're seeing the same system now starting to yield these positive results. And Matt, what's really remarkable about this is the fact that we're having players like Marcel Hartley, we're seeing players like Cordova League, we're seeing players like Teutscher League. These are big, big names, and they're still getting results. 7 wins in 10 on a 10-game unbeaten run. It's unbelievable what he's done. And de Meij himself told me, we're ahead of schedule.
Is it just a credit to the system that they are running right now, where the system is able to be bigger than any single player?
Well, yeah, it's all about the team ethos. You know, when you're trying to get 11 people to do, you know, work in unison and you know, subscribe to one belief and work together, that's always a difficult task. And then to do it to the level that they're doing it is a testament to the coaching acumen and the system that Johan de Meij has put in place. And, you know, there were a lot of questions early on in his coaching tenure, you know, is he getting the right personnel for his system? And we saw him control games, but not getting the results, not getting the goals. But now, you know, even without these big name players, those results are coming here. This team, I mean, their work rate is just off the charts. They run their socks off for each other.
Is there any reason to be concerned that you're in this period of, the 3 games in 8 days, and at times it felt like they were a step slow yesterday? They did not look crisp. For that to be the way they played last night, and then to have another matchup coming up just a few days later, what does a team do to try to navigate through that and maybe find a little bit more energy than what they had last night?
Well, yeah, take it with a grain of salt there, because, you know, that West Coast road trip really saps your energy. And when you're, you know, dealing with 3 games in 8 days and throwing travel in and playing that much, it's just a lot for any team at any level to handle, and given the vast amount of travel they've had. So they were fatigued. They will be, you know, admitting it. They're still disappointed with the result because they thought they should have gotten something out of it, you know, considering the quality of the opposition in Sporting. No disrespect to them, but not exactly having a fantastic season. So, yeah, I wouldn't worry about it long term. It was a hiccup. And when you play in these games in the dog days of summer, in the heat, on the travel, and working as hard in a way of playing that requires so much energy expenditure that these players are, I mean, they're bleeding out there. They're emptying their tanks. And so that's what is required in this system. So it's kind of likely that they were going to be a little spent. They were going to be a step slow and a little bit leggy.
For whatever reason, they have a hard time in Kansas City, and this rivalry means so much, I think, to both sides. But that is a place where they just, I say historically, it's funny to say that is still as new as this team is, but historically they don't especially play well there.
It's a tough place to play. I mean, they call it the Blue Hell for, and it's a very good reason. It's a tough place to play, and it's a team in Sporting Kansas City I've seen quite a bit this year where I think they're better than their record indicates. So, you know, while they're not blowing the doors off the Western Conference, they are still a tough nut to crack in their own regard, and they can give someone a game, especially if they can get an early goal. So it wasn't the case last night, but certainly St. Louis will feel that they underperformed in terms of results. And I would expect, you know, they call it the bounce back game in soccer. And you couldn't pick a better opportunity, a better opponent to do that against, because this Houston Dynamo team is absolutely steamrolling through Major League Soccer.
Yeah, that was kind of going to be my next question. This is an important matchup, but also in many ways with this role that City's on, this winless streak that they're on, this seems like a litmus test matchup for them as well.
It really is, and it's two teams that approach the game so differently. We're seeing a St. Louis City side that like to possess. They want to be on the ball. They want to control the game and get it out wide. And, you know, this is an up-and-at-em Houston side that is very good on the counterattack. They're comfortable without the ball. They're very athletic. Guilherme, the new signing, is, you know, making a case for MLS Newcomer of the Year. And you throw in the likes of Bogush, who's had a pretty good season opening up things on the right, and the play through the middle of the park with Jack McGlynn in support. So this is a team, it's very good going forward, but it's at the back where, you know, St. Louis is going to have their work cut out from. They're coming off four consecutive clean sheets, four consecutive shutouts, Houston, and it's against very impressive opposition. Blanking Vancouver up in British Columbia on their turf is a testament to the quality, you know, and they're also in the midst of that really busy fixture list, that busy schedule of three games in 8 days. So they're going to be a very difficult opposition, different type of opposition, but one they have seen already. You may remember St. Louis getting the better of them in the U.S. Open Cup quarterfinals back in May.
I always tell folks the product that Apple puts out on covering MLS is absolutely incredible, and it's not just the game broadcast. It's the other content that's put out. The studio shows are really, really good. This year, as we remind folks, if you've got the Apple TV subscription, you don't need that double paywall. So if you're there for Ted Lasso, you can stick around for everything going on in MLS. But give a plug just for the broadcast and the everything that you guys have going on content-wise when it comes to MLS on Apple TV.
Oh, thank you very much, Matt. It's an absolute pleasure. It's a privilege. And it's, you know what? It's just a heck of a lot of fun. We are very fortunate to do what we do, and we enjoy it.
Awesome. Very, very good. Hey, Christian, really appreciate you spending some time with us. Have a wonderful call, and I'm sure we'll talk again down the line.
All right, Matt. Thanks for having me. Enjoy the match.
All right. Very good. That is Christian Miles joining us. He's part of the team over at Apple TV with the MLS package. Again, if you want to watch City SC, that's the best way to do it. Essentially, that's the only way to do it. There's a national TV game every once in a while. But of course, you can also listen on our sister station, Y98, your home for City SC soccer. And they've always got that. They also have the overlay option on Apple TV as well. If you ever want to get the local City SC broadcast, you can get that on top of Apple TV. I know a lot of people have found that with the Major League Baseball package with MLB TV, where you can take the radio broadcast and overlay it on the radio audio on top of the TV. You can do the same thing when it comes to City SC. So lots of different things. I'm glad more and more services are doing that. That's something, and Apple TV has been really good about that. If you ever watch the Friday night baseball games on Apple TV, they have that option available. A lot of people don't realize that you're watching the Friday night game. You can bring up the KMOX broadcast of the Cardinals game when they're on Apple TV on Friday nights, and it just overlays it right on top of the Apple TV thing. So that's part of MLB TV, but it's also part of Apple TV, which I know a lot of people do appreciate. We are going to take ourselves a break, and when we come back, as we get into the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to have an extended conversation with Zach Mortimer. He is the Amateur Acquisition Director with the Cardinals. We've got a lot to get to with him. That's coming up here on KMOX.